You're listening to Prep Period, the only podcast for teachers that's focused on quick wins and actionable tips that can be implemented in your classroom tomorrow. Prep Period starts in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Prep Period Podcast. My name is Brian Bean. I'm your host. I'm really excited. Today we're going to discuss a couple different things. We're going to discuss guidelines for how to successfully implement simulations into your classroom. We're going to use Stu Kent's social media marketing sim as our example. We're going to talk a little bit about how many activities, the number of posts per week you should do, and really how to use the sims to combat student fatigue. Okay. And then we're also going to talk about how to create some video content, how to implement TikTok and different podcasts into your curriculum. I'm really excited. Our guest is Robert Moore from Morris Knowles High School. All right, we are recording now. So from this point on, everything can be used against you in court.
Great.
Right? Isn't that how it works?
Something like that, yeah.
Welcome, Robert. So first things first, let's get our listeners a little bit more familiar with you. So Robert Moore has been teaching high school business for 28 years, okay? So he is a veteran in the industry for sure. He's currently in his 24th year at Morris Knowles High School in New Jersey. He's been teaching social media marketing for about 4 years. He's got a wife and 2 children, loves spending time with them when he's not teaching. And he is an avid golfer who is the head golf coach and the head girls basketball coach at Morris Knowles, which makes total sense because, you know, golf and basketball, they're basically the same sport, right, Rob?
They actually, you'd be surprised how much they intermingle and how many coaches actually coach basketball.
Really?
And then coach golf in the spring, right. Yeah.
I had no idea. I coached a little bit of basketball back in my day, but I have never been able to hit a golf ball straight in my life. So I'll leave that dual threat. You are the king in this podcast in that regard. I'm not going to try and compete with you there. So let's talk about the topics. Specifically, I want to start with this idea of simulation fatigued. Okay, so what do you mean by that? How do students become fatigued with the simulation?
When we first start out at the beginning of the semester with simulation, they love it. It's new, it's different, and they like the idea of being able to create their own post and design their own things to a point. They start to get fatigued after a couple weeks of running the simulation because they run out of either ideas or they keep going back to the same graphics. And they get bored with the same graphics.
Gotcha. So it just maybe starts to feel a little repetitive to them.
It does. It absolutely is repetitive. And you see it with the quality of their posts too. Sometimes they just go down and you know it. And they're just like, yeah, I'm just not feeling it because it's kind of the same.
Yeah. And that kind of fatigue comes into play in so many different ways as a teacher, you know.
Absolutely.
You've constantly got to be changing things up and whatnot to keep the student engaged. Otherwise, you're just going to lose them. It doesn't matter what you're doing or how fun that thing is. If there's not some kind of nominally difference each time, it gets kind of a little confusing for them, a little repetitive. So let's talk about what do you do in order to fight that very thing? Okay, so why don't you tell me a little bit about your pacing first off? Like, how often do you use a sim in class? How many posts do you typically do? Let's talk about that.
Well, you said it when you said about how the kids can get bored with the same thing over and over again. The teachers do as well. So as far as with me, as you said, veteran teacher, which I'm a graybeard. I know that. That's okay. But
I don't know what you're talking about. For those of them who can't see it, I got way more gray in my beard than you, so I don't want anyone to hear it.
I'm a redhead, so therefore this is very, very light and white. But anyway, the fatigue part of things, what we do is when we start out for the simulation, the first time that we do it, we'll do it in class. And we do block scheduling here, which is 88 minutes. So what I will do is I will spend about 40 to 45 minutes them just doing posts. The first couple of times they do it, that might mean that they get 10 to 12 posts in total. The other parts of the class period, we talk about when you should post. We talk about the use of hashtags, the use of anything else that will help their post get more interactions and more likes. And we talk a little bit about the metrics they're going to see and all those things as we go along. Usually the first, for the first week of the simulation, they have to do 40 posts. And I try and spread it out over 2 weeks to 2.5 weeks of class time. My class is a semester, so that's 2 marking periods, about 20 weeks. And so we'll spread it out about 2.5 weeks or thereabouts. 40 posts. I usually tell them, look, you've been given a budget of $5,000. If you don't spend that budget, your boss is going to come back to you and start going, what, you don't need the money to do this work? You better start using it or you're going to lose it. Your budget's going to be cut down. So I make them spend about $4,500 to
$5,000. Yeah, I love that, Rob, because it's very realistic. Anybody who's been in any kind of a position where you've got a budget with work, you know, if you don't spend it, you're going to lose it. And then next time around when they do the budget, they're going to look at that and say, you don't have enough. Or you didn't use it all, so you don't need that much. So we're going to lower your budget, which could hurt you in the future. So I love that you kind of bring that into play a little bit. That's fantastic.
I post it around the room too at times. They see it and they go, oh, okay.
Yeah, what do you mean? I love it. So yep. If I'm understanding correctly, you take those 40 posts, you try to stretch that out over a couple different weeks.
We spread it out. Yeah, it's usually about 5 class periods is what we usually spend for the first 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks. So that's 2.5 weeks worth of class time, about 40 minutes each time, that they get to work on it. Now, they know if they're not done, they'll have to do it at home, which I'm not a big proponent of homework in my classes. We're all electives, so I don't really do that. But they understand why they have to do it. And I tell them, look, it's just like in the real world, that you have a deadline. You know when it's going to be due. You know when you have to get it done. This is when we're running the simulation, so you better get your stuff done. Yeah. And they get into that a little bit. They like that idea as well.
I love it. Now, one of the things, as I was reading through some of your background, that I thought was really kind of cool, this strategies that you've got to fight this fatigue isn't just about pacing, you know, because, you know, we've all been there as teachers. We know the drag that can come, especially when you teach the same subject 3 or 4 times a day.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, by February, you hate everybody in your life, and it can be kind of this drag. So it can't just be about pacing, because when you've got something that you're doing that you just are really, your students are engaged, you're loving it, it's even fun to grade if that's even possible. And so some of the things you did, I thought was really cool, really clever, and I want to talk about that for a little bit. So if I understand correctly, you have some kind of cool contests that you've integrated kind of the sim, kind of beyond just simulation activities. You've created some contests that you do within your class, different things with like graphics, hashtags. Where did you, first of all, can you explain some of those contests? And then I'm curious where you got the idea for them.
With one of the contests we do, we have them create their own graphics that could be used by or used in the simulation. Before we did social media, I taught a couple classes using Photoshop. Mm-hmm. And the kids obviously love to play with Photoshop. They love to design different things with Photoshop. So when I started the social media part, I was like, all right, how can I incorporate some of the knowledge I have of Photoshop into that? And I went, all right, since we're using this, we started using the simulation. I was like, okay, let me take them. And after we've done it for a couple weeks, we're through week 3 or whatever it's going to be, I'll have them, we'll have a contest. And I'll give them, they'll walk in that day, they'll get a sheet of paper, and they will have the contest rules for that day. And they'll have to use the skills that we've had, and I've shown them in Photoshop, or use the videos, because I have a whole library of videos, tutorials that I've created for them using Photoshop, to create and design their own post that we could use for Bowie. It includes choosing the bags, it includes choosing some other background and stuff like that. A lot of them actually like superheroes and Marvel and stuff like that. So I've seen a lot of creative ideas where they've incorporated buoy products with Captain America or with it. Superman. And it's fantastic.
Yeah, the thing I love about this so much, so many times teachers, when they find a good resource like a simulation, right, they get in a habit and a pattern of leaning too heavily on that simulation to provide too much of the content for the course. And it becomes almost a crutch for them. And what you've done is you've taken the simulation, you get the students used to the concepts, you start to get them involved in what they're doing, but then you've added on to it. You've added your own layer of activity and engagement by tapping into something that you think the students would be engaged in addition to it. And not only does that spark a little bit more life into the simulation, but it allows you to leverage both things to be mutually beneficial. The simulation helps with the other activity, and the other activity helps with the simulation. I love it. I think that's fantastic, Rob. That's brilliant. So do you have a favorite one that students have done in the past that comes to mind?
The one that's sticking out in my head, and it's not my favorite, but it's just sticking out, it was a picture of Superman carrying a bag over the Manhattan skyline.
Oh, yeah.
And the hashtags were, and the stuff that they used all related to both the bag not being his kryptonite and how he was going to combat Lex Luger with the bag instead of with kryptonite, or Lex Luger wasn't going to be able to take care of him that way. So that was probably my favorite.
That's really clever. That's awesome. That's fantastic. I mean, I'm not going to fault the kid for choosing the wrong superhero. You know, everybody knows Batman's better, but that's okay. We're not going to fault that young student for being naive. Hopefully you corrected that as the teacher, sent them on their way properly. But
see, I went with Thor.
Thor?
Thor.
See, now you're crossing the streams. We're getting into two different worlds here.
I know. We can't cross the Marvel and DC.
That's right. We're gonna edit that part out in post, I tell you what.
Yeah.
So let's transition a little bit now to, you also do some cool things with some videos, with like TikTok. And I'm going to pretend like I even know anything about TikTok. I'm way too old for that kind of stuff. So I'll just pretend along and you explain. Right. Let's talk about some of those cool things you do with videos.
Well, it started 2 years ago in the spring. We were doing the class and I happened to come across an article about TikTok. Now, I didn't know anything about TikTok either. And I read it and then I shared it with the class. We started to talk about it, and they're like, we don't use TikTok. I'm like, okay, come back to this fall of 2019, and all I see in our cafeteria at lunchtimes is 4, 5, 6 people around their phones shooting videos, shooting TikToks. So in the course of 3 months, it was like, all right, we're using TikToks now.
It went from no one uses it to now it's dominating the world, and exactly. Some guy gets a brand new truck from Ocean Spray because he sings along to an old rock tune while he's on a skateboard.
So I took that and I ran with it. I've always liked to incorporate video, and I do podcasts as well with the social media class, but I've always liked to incorporate videos with them. So this year we did a how-to video, and I actually just got one today, a how-to video, and this girl is a competitive gymnastics person. We don't have gymnastics at our school, so she filmed it at her club. And she showed me how to do a couple different gymnastic maneuvers, and she did it in TikTok. And then at the end, she put a special note in because she committed to a college at that point, and she sent it to me and said, you've got to watch the whole thing. There's a special surprise in there for you. And that was the surprise, so it was awesome.
Oh, that's cool.
They're finishing up their first videos are actually due next week, and they're a how-to video. And I told them you can do it with TikTok, you can do a regular video, whatever you want to do, but I want a how-to video on something. And I told them you have a minute in length. That's all I want.
Love it. Yep. And if I understand correctly, you even have them doing their own podcasts, yeah?
We do. We'll get, when we come back from break, I'll put them into groups of 2 or 3 or maybe even 4. And then they have to come up with a topic for their podcast. And then they have to write up this general script, sort of like what we're doing here today. And then they will sit there and they will record their own podcast. They listen to podcasts all the time. So I was like, all right, we're going to make our own podcast. And we talk about how they can market it, how they can put advertisements in. Some of them actually will do the podcast and they'll stop and hold on. Here's a word from our sponsors. And they'll read an advertisement there. It's really neat.
Oh, that's cool. Maybe if I prove to not be very good at this, you can have one of your students come do my job for me. That's awesome. So we've talked a lot about technology type, very tech heavy approach so far today. What do you recommend to those teachers out there that maybe are still working on their tech savviness? Like, how could they, do you have any software that resources that you would recommend that are really easy to use?
The phone. Absolutely. The phone. The kids, I let the kids choose their own resource for what they're going to record with because they know better than I do. And that's a battle I'm not going to go through with them when we're recording stuff as far as what platform they need to use. I tell them, look, use your phone, do whatever you need to do to get it so that I can view it and we all can view it. When in class, you know, I've always had access to Photoshop, but this year with us being hybrid and the use of Chromebooks, we found Photopea is the last three letters.
Gotcha.
It an online version of Photoshop. So, and the kids can use their Chromebooks for that. So therefore we fixed that issue real quickly when we found this and started to use this. And I'm like, all right, this is perfect. And there we go.
Is that a free resource?
It's free. It's free.
They just Google Photopea.
Yep.
Want to make sure we spell that right when we Google it.
Exactly.
PEA. And then that's a resource that they can use on their Chromebooks for free.
Yep, for free. And they can save everything as images or even Photoshop documents. And it's very easy to use.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming and sharing some of your insight with other teachers. I know... For years, I was in the classroom, and it's a constant battle trying to figure out that how to get past that fatigue and any kind of thing that you can do that elevates the educational experience for the students. Man, that's my favorite aspect about education as an industry, that we all just kind of have each other's backs. We're like, you got a good idea? Share it with that guy, and we're just going to spread it, and everybody gets better at it. So thank you very much for your time today. Stay safe in the storm. And hopefully we'll hear from you again sometime soon.
Sounds good, Brian. Thanks so much for having me today.
Thank you. So for my final thought for the day, it's actually going to come from a book I've recently read called The Progress Principle. For those of you watching the podcast, you can see it. For those of you who can't, it's called The Progress Principle. One of the things I love concept-wise from this book is the concept of inner work life. Now, it's written for adults and professionals and kind of helps give us, you know, some insight from a leadership standpoint on how to provide a better inner work life so that you find more fulfillment and enjoy what it is you do all day. But I think this is applicable to our students as well. As teachers, we have the ability to provide a better inner work life for our students. You think about it. They're in class all day long. They got 5, 6, 7, 8 classes a day, depending on how your school's structured. And it's going to be a grind. Every single class, every single day is not going to be fantastic and outstanding. That's just the nature of the beast. So one of the things that you can do to help your students have a better inner work life is what the Progress Principle points out as making positive progress for meaningful work. And I love how Rob was doing that with some of the things that we talked about in this episode, whether it be, you know, giving the students a way to make the simulation more authentic to themselves, to be able to contribute to that simulated experience that way with the graphics and hashtag contests. I love that idea. Owning a cool project that is something unique that this generation gets to do with TikTok, podcasts, things like that. And the key, though, is that they aren't necessarily something that they're trying to get done every single day and get a grade every single day. But if you have something project-wise like this where they can make positive progress every day on something that would be meaningful to them, that's going to increase their quote unquote inner work life. They're going to be more engaged. They're going to be more excited to come back the next day. And I think that that's some of the tricks, some of the keys to really improving education is by giving those students that positive progress and meaningful work every day.